This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tress Way was named NFL Special Teams Player of the Week this morning. He'll join us coming up in about 12 minutes on Grant and Danny. We got the Caps and the Redskins in this blitz. Big five-goal output for the Capitals and a big hit from Evander Kane that netted him a $5,000 fine and no suspension. Probably would have gotten Tom Wilson either 90 games
two years.
Banished to the KHL. We'll discuss that with Rob Carlin in just a few. Let's kick off the blitz. Rick Snyder, you've read his work in The Fan, DC.com. Rick, I want to start with Darius Geis. What a performance for him on Sunday in Charlotte, 12 yards a carry, 129 on the ground. What'd you think?
I have been a Darius Geis fan since day one of his first minicamp. I mean, this kid screamed potential, and the two injuries took it away. But I am not surprised in the least of what he did Sunday. I think he could be the next Quentin Portis.
How about Haskins? Even though the numbers weren't great, I thought it was his best game so far, certainly as a starter. And, you know, the arrow's trending up. It's not as if, you know, we're setting the world on fire here, but I am seeing some progress. What about you, Rick?
Well, yes. Okay, there's some progress. It's still not great, but it's not as bad as it was. Now, does that make it a good thing? No. No, not at all. But, hey, that's what the rest of the season's for, to get him a little bit better each week so that next season maybe it becomes a lot better.
What do you want to see between now and the end of the season?
I want to see just more of the skills players that we look at times. You know, you see Geis, maybe we can see McLaurin get, you know, more chances here. I mean, they have parts on this team, you know, and Haskins, of course. They have parts on this team that you'd want to, you know, really see what they can do versus the wins-loss. It's, you know, this week in Green Bay, good luck with that one. But there's players to watch, you know, more than games to be won.
Defensively, all of a sudden, it seems like they're playing better. Is this kind of fool's gold here, Rick, or is this, you know, something that we could maybe build on again going forward, kind of thinking along the same lines as you are there about you're building something, watching some players?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing because I was looking at the season, and the first 5 weeks, they were just throttled, and now they're doing about what I expected they would do. So my question then, too, was, well, they're playing lesser teams, so maybe that's what this is versus the first 5 weeks when they were playing the Killers. It's probably somewhere in between. I don't think Minuski has suddenly found a secret playbook that's making a difference. You know, some of the younger players are grasping a little more, but I think it's more of a level of competition than it is them improving greatly.
Read Rick's work at thefandc.com. Rick, thank you, buddy. Much appreciated as always.
All right, guys.
See you, buddy.
Be well. Let's talk some puck. Rob, the NHL Department of Player Safety is hilarious to me. I think I could play a game where I just guess at their suspensions and I'd never be within five games. It's almost a joke at this point. But Evander Kane yesterday hits Radko Gudas way up high with the butt end of the stick. He's got a lengthy track record, and he gets a $5,000 fine. Willie probably would have gotten 113 games. What'd you make of the decision?
I'm with you. I mean, you know, there's just no consistency. There's no way to have any kind of guess or clue how it's going to go down. You know, that's a pretty vicious shot to the head. And in a game that was completely out of control and wasn't a game that was, you know, getting too rough or being played in that sort of manner. So it was just a vicious, dirty hit that he did on purpose. And if the roles were reversed and it was Radko Gudas, I have a feeling it'd be a lot more than a $5,000 fine. So it really, it's hard to defend. I usually say that each thing is an individual incident and it's reviewed individually, and I don't like comparing. I just don't see how this is just a $5,000 fine to me.
Uncle Rob, what'd you make the decision to trade Chandler Stephenson? Looks like an opportunity now for Travis Boyd. How do you see that shaking out, especially since it looks like Nicholas Backstrom's on his way back?
I mean, you know, it's business, man. These are business decisions. And Travis Boyd outplayed Chandler Stephenson and earned that time, whatever time that's going to be, because really if they're back and healthy and Backstrom's back in the lineup, Travis Boyd's the extra anyway. But, you know, I think that it was a move that saved them a little bit of money. They're going to have to work within the constraints all year long. I asked Ryan McClellan about that specifically, about being more of a math major than a hockey general manager. And he kind of laughed. He's like, yeah, it's what we have to do now. So I thought they just had to clear a little bit of space and reward Travis Boyd. And Todd Reardon's been big on rewarding guys for their performance. And I don't think Chandler Stephenson, good for him. Look, he goes to Vegas, scores a goal in his first game there. He's on the ice at the end of the game trying to close out a win over the Devils. Good for him. I hope it works out for him. But this was as much business as it was rewarding Travis Boyd for really coming along in his game.
I think if they do take Boyd out of the lineup and they just move Eller to the third line, Backstrom goes back to the second line, it's probably the most prudent thing to do. Then your third line is Hagelin, Eller, and Ponick. And then you've got Leipzig, Dowd, and Hathaway staying as the fourth line. They've been awesome. Is that kind of the easy thing to do here? Would Boyd mix in a rotation with the fourth line? Because I don't really want to mess with that too much.
No, that's the thing. Like, look, at some point it'll go south for one of those lines, and Boyd might get a look. And, you know, forgetting the injury, you know, there might just be a shakeup at some point. It happens throughout a year. But if Backstrom's back tonight, which we expect him to be, and we won't know until Reardon talks with the media at 7:45 tonight, but if he's back in and Eller slides back, I think Richard Ponick is playing so much better recently, and they need to develop some chemistry on that third line. They need games together. But the team that they envisioned, that Brian McClellan in his head saw when he made all these acquisitions in the offseason, is what we expect to see tonight. So if everything goes right and they continue moving on at this clip, which is leading the NHL, then, yeah, you know, Travis Boyd, it's going to be hard to find minutes, but that's the life, and, you know, this is the team that they want.
Uncle Rob, thank you as always. I thought your off-color joke at Thanksgiving was perfectly fine, even though some of the relatives got mad. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. See you.
Rob Carlin of NBC Sports Washington. Watch him pre and post tonight ahead of another West Coast game, another late-night start in Los Angeles. We're Grant and Danny. We will be joined next by maybe the best Redskin this season. That's not hyperbole. Reigning Special Teams Player of the Week, punter Tress Way.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The Redskins might be 3-9. Things might not be going how we'd like. But here's the good news, people. As we welcome you back to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, when Dwayne Haskins and that offense trot to the sideline to punt the football,
who's coming out?
Tress Way comes out, and he swings that leg, and that ball flies about 49.9 yards in the air every single time. Tress Way joins us right now. He is the reigning special teams player of the week in the NFC. He punted a ball 79 yards on Sunday.
Just casual.
Tress, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'll tell you what. That is the kind of intro I was looking forward to. And I tell you what, if I do any sort of public speaking in the future, I fully intend to have you two either record that or just bring you along and we can have a couple cold ones after. That was wonderful. I mean, I'm just in awe.
And that was my B version of the intro. I'm waiting for I'm going to give you the A version when we bring you on after you're named a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, we got like WWE type intros for you.
We're going to be cutting promos.
Love it.
Speaking of the Pro Bowl, I mean this when I say this. I don't think anyone on the team but you deserves to go. I really need you to make the Pro Bowl. I'm going to stand on the table for Tressway. I don't like doing that because it feels homery and everything. But, dude, you deserve to be in the Pro Bowl right now. You're leading the NFL in punting yardage. You're in the tops of the league in net punting. About 3% of the time you boot a touchback twice all year. One of the highest totals in the league as well. 22 inside the 20. Would it mean anything? Would you rather not go to the Pro Bowl? Because then you could just go home and hang out with your wife and the kids or what?
You just want to
go
to Orlando.
Are you kidding me, man? Going to the Pro Bowl, like, it's cool just thinking. I mean, I grew up playing every single sport there is. And so, like, picturing just that all-star team of, like, professional athletes. I'm not a huge memorabilia guy, but you better believe I would take a helmet and just have everybody on that NFC team sign that one just as a getting to be a part of that year. I'd be so honored. It's so fun to hear you guys get all hyped up, and Nick is my personal hype man. That dude hypes me up every time. He's been great, and so it's just been so tough, you know, with a tough year. But man, it's definitely awesome having, you know, guys like you guys behind my back and everybody hyping me up. It's been a lot of fun, dude.
Well, it is fun. I mean, because there's personality to you. You're not just like I'm an anonymous guy from the 50s with like that single bar face mask, you know, who's like directionally punting and like,
dude, I have hard for that single bar face mask, but they said it's illegal. I wanted to bring that thing back. Horde.
Oh, I know you did, man. But why? To answer me this, we don't know anything. It's just like, you know, for a rube like me that watches football, it's like, well, they go back there, you put foot to ball. Why are you kicking it further than you've ever kicked before? Like, what are you doing that's different? Well, you're basically 50 yards a pop.
Yeah, the last year, my last season with Coach Kotwika, we had met in the offseason, and he said, hey, you know, this is the year we've kind of showed some signs of moving the ball all around the field, but I say you commit to it, and when you come back this next season, leading into that 2018 season, let's really take a couple strides and start moving the ball all around the field. Well, we happen to have a lot of pooch punts that year, and that's just kind of out of your control where you punt from. But this year, when Coach Nate Katzer came in, he was on board for, hey, what you did last year, I think we were just scratching the surface. And every single day that I was punting during OTAs, he would set these cones up at 50 yards on the sideline. And we're going to get as close as we can every single time, wherever we're punting. It doesn't matter the hash. I'm going to line up the same way. We call it chess versus checkers. The pre-snap, I look the exact same on every single punt to the returners, so they don't know if I'm going to the right, to the left, to the sideline, to the straight up. It doesn't, like, they have no idea. And so it's just been an awesome. I got lucky here these last couple years with Coach Kotwika pushing me that way last season, and then Coach Nate Katz are coming in this year and fully on board. And it's just been, dude, it's so, I get so freaking pumped when I see guys like Ian Addis and Jonathan Allen and Landon Collins come up, and they want to give me a headbutt, which I got to be careful because I don't have like that quite that same padding, and I wear it nice and loose and comfy because I don't hit that much. So like when they come in for the headbutts, I kind of look like a little bit of a Nancy pulling back. But it's so fun seeing the defense get hyped up whenever I'm able to pin a team back and flip the field. And I don't know, dude, it sounds cheesy, but I get hyped up for sure.
No, you should. We all do. I think it gets forgotten pretty quickly too. Tressway, the Redskins, not just punter this season, but hopefully for a long, long time, and maybe the best punter in the NFL right now is with us on Grant and Danny. When you pinned Carolina deep, as soon as Fabian Moreau picks off that pass and you return it to the half-yard line, it feels like your punt was an hour ago, and sometimes it never gets mentioned. But you pinning Carolina inside the five, making Allen a little timid in his own end zone, getting rid of the ball before he wanted to, setting up a minimal return that gets you inside the one, that punt was worth 7 points right then and there. I mean, do guys come up to you after that and acknowledge that, or is it kind of just on the field after you do it?
Dude, that is, first of all, well done by you, man. I'm very impressed. That is something that we address as a team. And so, you know, like obviously with you guys, I mean, just being able to hang out and talk with you guys, knowing that you guys notice that stuff, that's definitely a lot of fun. But you're right. I mean, most feels like an hour ago where you wouldn't really notice that. But we address it in team meetings. We address it in special teams and just kind of the ebb and the flow of the game and the hidden yardage. And so it's awesome when things line up that way because they pinned us deep and all of a sudden Adrian breaks a 20-yard run and we're outside of our own 20-yard line. And so it's just, man, when it all clicks, I mean, it's, as you guys know, I'm sure it's even so much fun for you guys watching on TV, but on the sideline, it's just fun when things are clicking and things are rolling and you're hitting people in the mouth.
Tressway with us, in no uncertain terms, kicks bombs, and it's a lot of fun. He's having his best year of his career, definitely Pro Bowl worthy. What's you mentioned different special teams coaches. What's different for you, just kind of in general? I mean, you mentioned some of the logistics of, you know, a pooch punting and game situation and the like, but when a new coordinator comes in, a new coach comes in, is life different for you at all, or is it just, Tress, you know, get back there and rage?
Yeah, dude, that's a really good question. So the coach's attitude really plays a huge effect on me on the field. You know, some coaches may lean towards trying to play it as safe as possible, trying to, you know, get out, eliminate their return yards, just kind of keep no explosives really positive or negative happening. And Coach Nate's very passionate and very aggressive and wants to change the game, wants special teams to affect the game in a big way. But Nick had told me my rookie year, you know, and just about everything, the first time we punted back deep, the first time we were punting in 20-mile-an-hour winds, first time we were in the rain, he goes, dude, by year three or four, you're going to have seen every single condition, and it's just all about putting different clubs in the bag. And now that I'm a bit of a golfer, I can really relate to that, where this offseason, I tried to learn more and more clubs that I could have in my bag, so whoever it is that's coaching us, whatever the scheme is, I can kind of mold to that scheme and try and affect the game and hopefully flip the field.
I have a few random questions that I've always wondered about punters or punting that I'm going to hit you with in a second. But before we do that, I've got a little game, if you're cool with that.
All right, hit me,
dude. A little
dude.
Trivia challenge, okay?
Uh-oh.
Your punt this weekend was 79 yards. You know that.
Yeah.
What is the longest punt in the NFL this season?
I think mine is.
You're right.
Trust All right, sweet.
Oh, that was a trick question. I was like, who is
that? That's 79 yards.
Is it Andy Lee?
No.
Good one.
All right, so here's my next question. It's a two-question game. Whose punt was the longest before you shattered the season record?
Oh, man. I got to go with my dude, Brett Kern.
Brett Kern is not even he's close. He had a 70-yard punt for the Titans. I'm looking for a guy named Pat O'Donnell from the Bears.
Pat O'Donnell.
He had a 75-yard punt.
Holy moly.
All right, so then here are my questions, my random questions. Number one, if you stand on your own goal line and you just punt as far as you can in the air,
yeah,
how far could you punt it? Like no coverage, no issue regarding hang time?
Yeah.
You're just it's like max effort when your brother pitched trying to throw as hard as he can.
Yep. Okay. So this is, and you're saying the line of scrimmage is irrelevant. It's just from where I'm punting the ball.
How far as the crow flies?
Yeah, I could probably put it around the other 25, about 75 in the air would be about my max.
I get steamed up.
That's ridiculous.
You should just do that one time. Just let it all just hang out.
Well, see, that's what I'm glad you bring that up, because right after practice today on my way home, I got to make a stop by ABC and I got to take care of some boys in there, because what you guys also may not know about punting is the hang time to distance ratio is a big deal with the direction. Well, the wind was howling in Carolina and I hit a 4.19 hang time ball, which I'm usually above 4.5 seconds, so that's low, and it went 63 yards in the air, which would almost be about that 75 yarder that I just mentioned to you. And those dudes in the locker room right now tackled that guy for over a 50 yard net. So I've got some Hennessy, some Patron, some Jack Daniels that I gotta give a big thank you to these guys, because I got an awesome award of special teams player of the week, and three of those punts I did not put with awesome direction, and those dudes are hunting. So it's been a lot of fun, man.
Look at the math that goes into the awards that he's giving away. All right, here's two more questions then. Second to last one I've got. How many punts in a practice or a day before you get tired? If you're working on your craft, you know, like you go out, you can't just throw all day to work on pitching. How many punts do you have in your leg?
I'm usually about 40 a day. I do about 10 in warm-ups with Nick, and then 15 to... I don't know, about like 10 to 15 of walking the field and doing different situations, and then we do right around like 10 or 12 in a set during practice, so about 40 a day.
All right. I would have guessed way under that, so that's interesting. And then finally, this drives me nuts. I saw it again, Vikings-Seahawks Monday Night Football. Why is it that when teams come in to block punts and they leave nobody out wide on the gunner, the punter doesn't immediately just throw the ball as soon as he gets the ball to the guy out wide?
So that is a scouting issue. That means that in the history, they have not seen a threat of that punter throwing the ball, which I've thrown a couple in my day.
Puma.
And so we don't get that too often, because you better believe I'm going to launch that sucker out there. I got to get some fantasy points.
So Puma, baby. Let's ride.
Puma, let's ride.
Puma, that's right. Puma.
Here is the one that has driven me nuts my entire life as a football fan. Let's say the ball is spotted on the right hash mark. Okay. You don't line up as the punter, and punters don't line up on the hash mark. They're like a yard or two to the side.
That's right.
That's driven me crazy. Why don't you line up straight? Why the side? What's the deal with that? Is it about direction? No one ever talks about it. I've wanted that answer my whole life.
There you go. So to toot the dude's horn, Mr. 5'7", Nick Sundberg in there, the snappers are incredible to where we as the punters in the NFL can stand wherever we want, and they still put the snap rate on us. But it all has to do with the block point. So whenever you see these dudes rushing and getting in the face of punters, if I stand right behind Nick and I walk to my left to punt it left or walk to my right to punt it right, I'm going into that A gap, B gap, C gap, and it makes a very short blocking point, which you absolutely do not want. So you try and end up now go back and watch, like maybe this weekend when you're watching, if a guy starts outside the hash, I bet he ends up on the hash, and it's all about the block point.
Interesting.
There you go.
There's some good punting nuggets.
I needed the in-depth there.
All right.
There you go.
Special teams player of the week, Tressway. I believe Pro Bowl voting is still going on, so go vote for him right now. He really legitimately
100% deserved.
This is not just a guy who likes Tressway on the radio.
Stick aside, of course.
He's the best punter in the league right
Thanks,
now.
Thanks, guys.
He deserves to be in the Pro Bowl. All right, go get your 40 punts in.
That's it. Hey, great talking to you guys. Take care.
See you,
buddy. Too, man. There's Tressway, one of the good guys with the Redskins. They might be 3-9.
Ping pong star.
But Tressway is just hitting bombs.
He takes on all comers. You want to come into the ping pong dojo, you're going to get smacked around.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The Panthers owner did something yesterday Dan Snyder's never done. We'll explain. The holiday shopping season is here, and this year your gift can start next year's good habit. Quip is something that is sure to put a smile on everyone's mouth because it's dental care they'll actually want to use every day. That's why Quip is the perfect, thoughtful, practical gift with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and toothpaste, all intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The Quip electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations, a timer with 30-second pulses, guides your routine, and then they give you the Quip floss dispenser that has pre-marked strings so that you get the right amount. Plus, Quip delivers brush head, floss, toothpaste, refills every 3 months. You can join over 3 million happy customers. Check everyone off your gift list right now with Quip at getquip.com/2019. Just go to getquip.com/2019 to save on gift sets or to get your first refill free with a refill plan. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/2019. We've hit the jackpot today with a couple interviews with Redskins. Both Nate Orchard and Tressway were thoroughly enjoyable. If you guys missed either of those interviews and you've got radio.com, of course, you can use the rewind function to go back in time and to listen to those. Again, radio.com, 24-hour app. Basically, it's like DVR for radio.
It's pretty amazing. I don't know how they do that, by the way.
Good technology. I think we have it exclusively and no one else does, so take advantage of it.
Get on it.
In addition to that, though, you can grab those podcasts when we're done today at thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio. So we were talking earlier about the firing of Ron Rivera by the Panthers. We played a couple of cuts from David Tepper, who's the owner in Charlotte now the last couple of years, bought the team for about $2.3 billion. The way that he addressed his fan base yesterday is the dream for a Redskins fan from Dan Snyder. He came out. He explained why they were moving on from a head coach. He laid out a vision for what is going to be moving forward. I don't want to say he apologized. He didn't do that. But he, in a very candid and transparent way, said, listen, this firing and whatever hire we make is not immediately going to change everything for us. Just because we go get a new head coach doesn't mean come September next year, all of our problems are going to go away. He acknowledged where they are short in some areas where they've got to get better. He talked about an urgency to try to improve their analytical department, that they want to bring in a second front office person to help Marty Herney, who he believes is a great talent evaluator, but maybe doesn't do some of the numbers things as well as he needs to, that they don't pay enough attention to analytics in Charlotte and Carolina. At their facility. Darn if I wasn't jealous watching that. And every word he said, I just kept thinking, I wish this was Dan Snyder. But Danny, we've never seen Snyder have even that sit down, even with Larry Michael before. Like, that was kind of a state-run Panthers-centric thing on Panthers.com. But when's the last time you saw Dan Snyder sit down? Not take questions from the media, because that's never happened. Sit down with Larry Michael, have him read you questions that you already know are coming, and you just openly address your fan base. That's never happened before once. Am I wrong about that? I can't remember
it. I can't picture it. I mean, I've seen him in interviews, right? Doing stuff that has nothing to do with the Redskins. Like, he was interviewed about Notre Dame years ago. Like, Redskins Nation, I think, got an interview with him forever ago. But again, it's just ancient history at this point, right? I mean, I'm thinking back to, it's like September 11th commemorative type stuff. It had nothing to do with like a major decision that got made. So the dream, you're right, obviously just for them to be good. But what we'd settle for is normalcy. We'd settle for what you're supposed to do as an executive of an organization that thousands, even millions of people care about to some capacity. And you're part of a public interest. It's not just not the guy from Texaco or Exxon or somebody else piping up about a major decision. This is something where people are invested in you. The public cares about what your team does and what you do. The idea that they would do something like this, which is so normal and agree or not with the decision, doesn't matter. Of course it's a tough question. Of course it's not a great day. Your season's gone to you know what, and you're firing a coach, a guy that's good at his job and is a good guy. You address these things, and it makes it all better. You don't have the piled-up venom of dozens of years of people hating your guts when you are in public more often.
It's a good way to put it, though.
You get it the first time, right? The first time you speak, Bruce Allen speaks, everyone screams. You do it more often, the vitriol dies down. You justify yourself.
The venom builds on itself because you're so tired of not hearing what you want to hear and not being able to ask what you want to ask and not being able to get your answers. I mean, as a fan, not that you're going to get to sit in that press conference, but that's why the media is there. I've got a question that we'll do next segment and take calls on that I think could be really, really fun. And I'll pitch that in 1 second here. Brandon is in Annandale, though. What's up, Brandon? How are you?
Grant and Danny, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I just wanted to make a quick point about Tress Way, man. That interview was so fun to listen to, man. He's got a great personality, and he really reminds me a lot of Pat McAfee. I think that he's got a career in broadcasting or television when he's done playing ball, man, because I learned so much about the craft of punting just in that interview. So good job, and love the show, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that means a lot. Appreciate you. I've never linked him to McAfee in that regard. I mean, he's got a huge personality like McAfee does.
He's funny. He's creative. Yeah. He's interesting. He's a good dude.
Tress can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll be immensely successful at whatever he gets into after he's done punting. There's no doubt in my mind. Appreciate the kind words. And, yeah, he's a stud. We should have him on more because he's just a funny, entertaining guy. And it just so happens he's become the best punter in football. So here's my question, though, to pose to people to call in on and to answer as a fan base next at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Let's say Dan Snyder had a epiphany where he decides he's going to do the Tepper thing. And he's going to sit down, he's going to address his fan base and his constituents isn't the right word, his consumers.
But it's kind of like that, yeah.
What would you want to hear him say? And what do you think you'd want him to answer to? What question would you want asked of him? In a hypothetical world that doesn't exist, that will never exist, where Dan Snyder's going to pull a David Tepper and he's going to talk and be open and he's going to be candid and we're going to get the treatment Panthers fans got yesterday that they were so lucky to get. What question do you want asked of Snyder, and what do you want to hear him say? 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll give you some of our answers next right here on Grant and Danny. Remember, at 1, you thought Tress Way was fire. Michael Lombardi brings energy and sharp opinions. He will be with us at the top of the hour in 18 minutes to talk Skins and to bounce around the NFL.
Look, a very hard move. Ron Rivera, besides being a good coach, is one of the finest men I've ever met in my life. I'll just say that up front. Look, I came here 2 years ago. I wanted to show patience on the football side and see how it was going. You know, on the business side, we made vast and sweeping changes. And I didn't want to make those vast and sweeping changes on the football side. I'm going to take time and patience to see what could go. on how it could go. I just thought it was time, given the way things have gone the last two seasons, to put my stamp on this organization on the football side, as we've done on the business side of the organization.
Really not surprising at all to see Tepper doing things the right way in Carolina, because David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers you just heard there, came from Pittsburgh. He bought a 5% stake in the Steelers back in 2009.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he mentions it a couple times in the full-length interview yesterday. Not specifically that he bought 5%, but just that he came from the Steelers. I think he learned over 9 years. Maybe it was, what, 7, 8 years before he came to Charlotte. I think he learned a lot probably from that ownership group and from what it's like to run an NFL organization. What a benefit that must be to come over from Pittsburgh rather than just being 34 and buying your own company and having it handed to you and not really knowing what you're doing. But then he bought the Panthers from Jerry Richardson, who was forced out for a little over $2.2 billion. That interview, if you haven't seen it, Panthers.com, I'm sure, is on their Twitter account. As a football fan, as a Redskins fan, watch it if for no other reason than just to hate watch it. Just to see what it could look like with an owner doing things the right way. But the question we've got for you guys at 800-636-1067 is, if Dan Snyder did something like that at the end of this year, what would you want asked of him and what would you want him to lay out and actually say? Zach is in Brandywine. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, Granddaddy, man? Y'all are the best. You know, thanks for what you do every day for
You're
us,
man. Sweet.
So
thank
hope you,
you
have a happy holiday.
Nice to see you, buddy. You too.
It will be honestly, I mean, really the question flat is, what are you thinking? But I wouldn't be able to ask that in the proper way. So it will be like, what's your process? How do you get from A to B? Like, what do you look at? What are your, you know, kind of key indicators as to progress? What are you doing? Because I could not believe how jealous I was watching the Tepper, I mean, listening and watching to the Tepper interview, just having someone win, lose, or draw, be honest.
Yes. The transparency. I'm overusing that word, Zach, but I love he basically said, what are you doing?
That's what it is, yeah.
Let's just hear the plan, because you should have one. Like, Mike Rizzo talks all the time. 1-year plan, 2-year plan, 5-year plan. Sometimes he divulges more of it than other times. They're not always just going to open the book, so to speak, and say, here's what we're thinking 3 years from now. But you've got a pretty good idea based on how they act and how they go about their business of what their plan is. We don't really know what the Redskins is. My number one question of Dan Snyder would obviously be this. Dan, please explain to me how you justify keeping Bruce Allen as your team president. That would be my first question to him. That would be maybe the only question I'd ask if I only got one. That's the one. From there are other things. Lay out 5 years from now, how do you kind of see this? What is this team's identity? What kind of culture do you feel like you'd like to establish, and how do you plan on going about doing this? In what ways have you learned, and are you better as an owner than in your infancy? And in what ways have things changed for you from 1999 and 2000 when you blew everything up and spent $100 million, and 2001 when you fired Marty after he went 8-3 in his final 11? Those are some of the things I would want asked, but I would just want him, more than anything, I'll do less asking and let him do more talking like Tepper did. I just want you to explain to me what your end game is. I want to talk analytics with Dan Snyder. You know, Tepper came out and said, I think Marty Herney's a great GM. I think he's a really good evaluator of talent and people. It's important to me that he remains in charge. But I think, this is Tepper talking, not me. Tepper said, I think the way that the league is trending is that you're not run by a person. You know, one man doesn't run your outfit, a couple do. And his point was, we need someone in the room with Herney who's all over the analytics. Oh, my gosh.
Remember the Redskins had a guy like 7 years ago that was there for 5 months and just no one talked to him, well, so he left?
How about last week?
Yeah.
Bill Callahan was asked about analytics and running. In fact,
that's a good idea.
Somebody's been listening to Grant and Danny because they asked him about running on first down and what the numbers say as opposed to what they do. And his basic answer just was, yeah, a lot of teams around the league are trending toward analytics, and they've got big departments. We've got one guy doing that. It might be something to look into. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, it might be.
Like 2019. 10 years ago, it was something to look into. 10 years ago, having one guy doing it was probably not satisfactory, but at least a lot of other teams were in the same boat. Now, that's just frankly unacceptable.
My question, and this is even bigger than Bruce Allen, although it leads directly to that. The Redskins have the fourth fewest wins in the NFL since 2000. basically since Dan Snyder took over full-time. He kind of was midstream in 99 and sort of trotted the team out there, and that was that. Put a stamp on things starting in 2000. The fourth fewest wins. Down there with expansion teams, down there with the Cleveland Browns, down there with the Lions, who have an 0-16 season in there. Up at the top, Patriots, which actually are the exception to the rule, believe it or not. Steelers, Colts, Packers, Eagles, Ravens, Broncos, Seahawks, Saints, Falcons, Chargers. All of them have one thing in common. The correct structure. General manager, coach. You've never done that. You've never done that. I don't know why you haven't done that.
Well, they did it with McLuhan. If he was a GM.
By default, it was still Bruce Allen's show for the most part.
Understood,
stripped
but,
them of
but
power.
I think a lot of those other teams have a president, a GM, and a head coach.
Yeah, to me, the normal correct structure. But, you know, McLuhan inherited things and kind of worked within, but, you know, you let him do what it was, and it was the best you've been, and you were starting to build something. Why haven't you done the correct structure? Never once under your leadership. The only guys that you've trusted are head coaches with Super Bowl resumes, and you made them the team president, too. That typically doesn't work. Ask Mike Holmgren. Ask everybody else that's ever done it. And it's failed. You allow them to do it. Why don't you have a Charlie Casserly? Why don't you have a Beathard to the Gibbs? Why have you never done it that way? And why won't you start doing it today, this second? Because that's what works. Your way doesn't. 20 years says that. 20 years says the other the way works, too. Figure that out.
Be a good, nice question to ask him.
Now, that's a long question, but I try to be more succinct.
That sounds more like you're telling him something than you're asking a question.
I'm informing you of this information,
right. And
tell me that I'm correct. The second thing I'd probably ask if I get a bunch of questions,
quick,
I'll go
please. Along those lines, there was a great little nugget I saw. It was an anecdote in a much bigger piece. This was last week. I don't remember the specifics of this, but some guy who was involved in, I think, election polling was on some panel with Dan Snyder many, many, many years ago. He had just bought the Redskins. And Snyder met him at this event, at this function where they were both talking on stage. And Snyder said to him, hey, what kind of stuff do you work on sports-wise? He said, oh, we just came up with this huge research project on the NFL draft. I'd love to show you some of our stuff. So to Snyder's credit, he's like, yeah, we want to be the best at everything we do. Let's hear what you have to say. So Snyder spent hours and hours talking to this guy about the NFL draft and all of his research and the analysis and the analytics on what works and what doesn't in the NFL draft. And this guy was telling the story, and his point was, I mean, we spent so much time together, and I was kind of coaching him up on the idea of basically you want to trade down and acquire as many picks as possible. That's the gist. And he said, we talked and we talked and we talked, and I thought they were going to do that, and then they did the exact opposite the next couple of years. The point is, you could tell Dan Snyder what works and what doesn't. He's still got to execute it, and he just never really has. It's never been part of his way of going about his business, is to actually follow through on that.
And so my second question that I'd get to is, why are you so adversarial towards the media? Why do you try to control narratives instead of winning football games? You spend more energy trying to spin a story that doesn't make you look very good than you do not having negative stories. I've never understood that, the things that they spend time, energy, and focus on. Like the behind-the-scenes meetings about making sure you guys had fast food so you'd be more lethargic while you're reporting on them. Trying to get Jason
Lockenfora fired. Many years ago, yeah.
You know, it's
one
a running
of the funniest
thing.
Things. I mean, who knows if that actually was a thing, but that's one of the, like, the tales that's told out there, that there was a meeting behind the scenes where they said, let's just put a bunch of Baconators on the counter. They eat a bunch of Baconators, they'll just be kind of fat and happy and sit at their laptops and not want to go running around the facility. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Final hour of the show kicks off with our good buddy Michael Lombardi. Ron Rivera as a head coaching candidate, would he make sense for the Redskins? What about Jim Harbaugh? If he comes back to the NFL, what type of team should be talking with Harbaugh? You're listening to G&D.
Do you like compliments? Do you like getting some validation when people who haven't seen you in a while say, wow, you look good? Or do you like awkward snickers and people not talking about your appearance because you know you look really overweight and gross? I like the former. That's why I love EMP 180 Weight Loss. They've got a Why Wait special right now. It's a great offer where you buy at least 6 weeks and you get a bonus week for free. Go do what I've done, what Grant's done, what so many of our listeners have done. Take control of your life. Get to that healthy weight.
Yeah, I got back from my Thanksgiving travels. And I stepped on the scale and I said, all right, it's time. Here we go. It's grind, baby. Up until the Christmas holiday, EMP 180 approved or bust. Already down a handful of pounds since getting home on Saturday evening. That's what you can do with the MP 180. You do what you got to do in your life. You get right back on the program. It works. The weight comes off. The weight staves off with EMP 180. Go to 855-888-0180. That's calling 855-888-0180 if you want to get on board and get your first consultation set up, or EMP180.com.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.